guys. Welcome back to another episode of Fitness and Nutrition with me, Coach Ademir. Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Today's topic, we're going to go over nutrition, something I get asked a lot in my line of work, cholesterol levels, what's healthy, what's not. So today's episode, a little more educational. So get out your notepads, get ready to learn a little bit and hopefully make some different choices in your life to ensure you have healthy cholesterol levels. So just a few things, you guys. I'm really enjoying the feedback. I've been getting a lot of comments on the podcast, and I'm very thankful that there's several of you listening. So I'm going to continue to, you know, change subjects every week, something informative, something that's beneficial for everyone, something that maybe controversial at times, but I really want to make sure that you guys are getting the information as unbiased as possible and as transparent as possible as well. So again, I appreciate the feedback, and I really hope that you're learning something, you're enjoying it. At the very least, you're, you know, maybe just getting some motivation as well. So yeah, if you haven't followed me yet on Instagram, it's at Coach Ademir. I also have a Twitter. I'm becoming a little more active on there, starting to really figure out how to use Twitter over Instagram. It's a completely different animal. But yeah, at Coach Ademir on Twitter, at Coach Ademir on Instagram. And yeah, so let's get going with today's topic. Get your notepad out. Again, if you don't take notes, that's totally fine. Just try to retain as much information as possible. And if you ever need to go back to it, just have a listen again, okay? So here we go. All right, so as I said, cholesterol is a topic that comes up in my line of work. So a while back, someone asked me, Ademir, what foods can I eat to help lower my cholesterol levels? Simple answer is just eat healthy fats, such as your olive oils, coconut oil, avocado oil, your nuts, such as your almonds, cashews, peanuts, walnuts, and then, of course, your actual whole avocados. Coconut's a really good fat as well. So that's a super simplistic answer, and all right, cool, I'll just add that, and I'll have healthy cholesterol. And it's yes and no, all right? There's several different factors that you have to consider to ensure you have healthy cholesterol levels of both bad and good cholesterol. Okay, so that's what we're going to go over today. There's two different types of cholesterol that are important for you and that are important for you to understand so that you can adjust your diet accordingly or make changes in your life, whether it be exercise, whether it be drinking less alcohol, whether it be not smoking, to ensure that your cholesterol levels are well balanced and are keeping you healthy. All right, so first things first, what is cholesterol and what are the different types? So cholesterol, it's a substance that's made in your liver, and it has many important functions throughout your body. It's going to help keep the walls of your cells flexible, and it's needed to make several hormones in your cells. So in order for your cells to be healthy, they can't be rigid, they can't be all hardened, right? They have to be fluid, things have to pass through them, they have to be able to pass through, and it just needs to be flexible, so cholesterol helps that, all right? But just like anything else, too much cholesterol or too much of it in the wrong place creates problems, all right? There's two types of these cholesterol proteins. They're called lipoproteins, and these are the two that transport cholesterol through the body. There's your LDL, which is your low-density lipoprotein, and that's your bad cholesterol. So L, low-density, that's bad. All right. What that does, it results in cholesterol deposits in your blood vessel walls. So that's that plaque buildup we hear about that constricts the blood vessels and it doesn't allow for proper blood flow. So that can lead to clogged arteries, strokes, heart attacks, and even kidney failure. So bad cholesterol equals clogged arteries, strokes, heart attacks, kidney failure. Not what we want. Then we have our HDL. High density lipoprotein. That's your good cholesterol. So low density, bad. High density, good. And these help carry cholesterol away from the vessel walls. So if you have a lot of HDL in your bloodstream and there's a lot of LDL deposits throughout your blood vessels, the HDL will actually help clean out those blood vessel walls and then help prevent those diseases I just mentioned. So healthy balance, healthy blood vessels, healthy heart, healthy kidneys. All right. And there's 10 natural ways to increase your good and decrease your bad cholesterol. All right. So we're going to go over this right now. There's 10 of them. Like I said, today's educational, so there's going to be a lot packed in. I'm going to try to go through as slow as possible and explain as much as possible, but stick with me and I promise you'll learn like two or three things out of these 10. And then you can go back and learn two, three more. All right. So first thing, focus on your monounsaturated fats. I'm sure you've heard these words before. You're like, what the hell does that all mean? I can't remember all this. I'm not going to remember monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, trans fats. It's a lot to remember and retain. So just remember the foods that we talk about here, and that'll help you remember, or at least help you consume the right types of fats, okay? So don't worry about the names too much. Just worry about the types of foods that I'm going to explain here, and then you'll have a better grasp on how to plan your food and plan your meals and things like that. So monounsaturated fats, this will reduce your LDL and then also raise your levels of HDL. So diets high in monounsaturated fats are going to reduce that LDL and then protect the high levels of HDL. So instead of getting rid of it, it's going to protect it while cleaning out. Okay, so it's doing, it's multitasking basically, right? It's not allowing that LDL to take space in the blood vessel walls, and then whatever HDL is there, it's protecting it from anything else. All right, it's also going to reduce the oxidation of fats. Okay, so it breaks down better in your body when you have less LDL and more HDL. All right, so sources of these healthy fats are olives, olive oil, your tree nuts such as almonds, walnuts, pecans, hazelnuts, cashews, peanuts, right? And then your avocados, coconuts. Those are your healthy fats that you can consume on a daily basis. You can cook with the oils. You can add these, the nuts as like a snack in your trail mix. You can add them to salads, right? There's so many different options that you can manipulate and play with these foods to give yourself a good meal that you're actually going to enjoy, all right? Next thing, use polyunsaturated fats, and specifically your omega-3s, all right? Research has shown that these fats reduce your LDL levels and also decrease the risk of any heart disease, right? So it's been shown that when you consume more omega-3s in your diet, your cholesterol levels reduce by 10%, and your risk of coronary artery disease drops by nearly 20%. That's a huge percentage and a huge lowering of risk factors just by consuming healthy omega-3s. Not only that, but you're going to reduce the risk of your metabolic syndrome and type 2 diabetes. Now, metabolic syndrome is anything that affects your weight levels, your diet, your metabolism, and how your body digests and processes food. So it's going to reduce that as well. And then type 2 diabetes, who doesn't want to reduce the risk of that just by consuming omega-3s, all right? And your omega-3s, if you are not familiar with it, they're found in seafood and fish oil supplements. So if you don't like seafood, if you don't like fish, if that's not something you like to consume, it just doesn't taste good to you, you can do a fish oil supplement. There's also krill oil, which is those like microscopic bugs that swim in the water that giant whales eat. They actually have, 87 times more potency of healthy omega-3 oils than fish oil. So if you can find a krill oil supplement, take that. I actually have one. If you need to know what it is, reach out to me. I'll tell you where to get it. And then if you are going to eat fish, salmon, mackerel, herring, and deep sea tuna like bluefin or albacore are going to be the best in terms of bioavailability of omega-3s versus high mercury content as well. Okay, these have a little more fat in them, so they have that omega-3. Shellfish is also good for it, but just in lesser amounts. Okay, and then still seeds and tree nuts. So if you're not eating fish, if you're vegetarian, if you're vegan, If you just don't like fish or seafood, seeds and tree nuts work as well. Your chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, anything you can mix in a smoothie or even cook with, okay? Oatmeal, stuff like that. All right, number three. So one and two, focus on mono and polyunsaturated fats. Number three, you're going to want to avoid trans fats. That's the bad one, all right? These are unsaturated fats that have been modified by a process called hydrogenation. And when you think of hydrogenated fats, they're basically solid at room temperature. So butter, margarine, like your cooking shortening, your baking shortening, spreads, any frosting, pastries, stuff like that. That's trans fat, all right? So what that does is those are handled differently in the body. And the bad thing about it is that because it's already in a solid form, it's hard for the body to break it down even more. So what this is going to do is it's going to increase your total cholesterol and your LDL, but it's also going to decrease your beneficial HDL by as much as 20%. So not only are we increasing the bad cholesterol in our body, we're getting rid of the beneficial cholesterol that's in our body. So we're having another twofold effect, but in a negative way. And that's not something that our body should be going through or that we should put our bodies through. There was a study of global health patterns and that estimated that trans fats may be responsible for 8% of deaths from heart disease worldwide. 8%. If there's 6 billion people, is that 8 million? That's a lot. Like, maybe my math is a little off, but that's a lot of deaths from something preventable, right? I love butter. Who doesn't? And who doesn't love your pastries and things like that? But at the same time, we got to have it in moderation. We got to make sure that our healthy HDL levels are extremely high so that when we do consume these trans fats, we're not completely wrecking our body, all right? Again, moderation. And here's the hard part, you guys, and this is kind of effed up, but food companies, the companies that put the labels on everything on the shelves, they're allowed to round down in terms of labeling if the amount of the fat per serving is less than half a gram. So even if it does have 0.4 grams of trans fat, the label can say zero. And maybe 0.4 grams is a trivial amount, but if it's 0.4 grams per serving and there's 10 servings in said box or bag of food, it adds up. All right, so try to stay away from any food on the label that says partially hydrogenated oil. Just try to avoid it as much as possible. All right, even the healthy, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see me, even the healthy oil butters, like plant-based butter and things like that, where it comes from a quote-unquote healthier source, it's still a hydrogenated oil. It's still been modified into a different substance. So you're still not going to get the benefits, all right? Other examples of trans fats, fried foods, so French fries, donuts, fried chicken, all the good stuff. I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Microwave popcorn, frozen pizzas. Who doesn't love a frozen pizza? I mean, come on. And then, of course, refrigerated dough, such as biscuits, rolls, cookie dough. Damn it, I can't eat cookie dough no more. All right, fine. So those are examples of your trans fats, guys. Those are the things we want to stay away from. I think if we think about those foods again, French fries, donuts, fried chicken, popcorn, frozen pizzas, dough with like biscuits and rolls, that's probably stuff we shouldn't be consuming all the time anyways. I think we have a good understanding of maybe I shouldn't eat that. Number four. Eat soluble fiber. Even if you think that, you know, you've seen those commercials that eating fiber is for older people, is wrong. We should be consuming fiber our entire lives. All right, these are a group of different compounds in plants that dissolve in water and that humans can't digest. So the good thing about it is that it comes in different types of food. It comes in powdered form, but what it is for our body, it's a beneficial bacteria that lives in your intestines. All right. And those bacteria can digest the soluble fiber. So think probiotics. All right. Those are going to reduce the harmful lipoproteins of LDL. And then studies show that eating more fiber is going to reduce the risk of disease. It's funny, a lot of these things reduce the risk of disease just by consuming a little more of it or consuming less of something. It's pretty simple fixes here, you guys. High fiber intakes of both soluble and insoluble fiber reduce risk of death by nearly 15%. 15%, that's a lot. And if you're looking for fiber sources, beans, peas, lentils, fruits have fiber, vegetables have fiber, your oats and your whole grain foods, they have fiber as well. So whole grain bread, whole grain rice, those are all full of fiber. And then of course your fiber supplements. So if you don't like beans or you don't want to eat too much fruit or oats, what is that, a scoop or a teaspoon of, what is it, Metamucil fiber? Yeah, that goes in water. You can drink that as well. Just add fiber to your diet in whatever form you can. All right, you guys, we're halfway through. So number five, exercise. All right, so I guess this one's fairly obvious. Five and six are fairly obvious, but exercise. First of all, that's going to improve your physical fitness and help combat obesity. Not only that, it's going to reduce your LDL, increase your HDL. There was a study done of 12 weeks of combined aerobic and resistance exercise, and it reduced LDL in 20 overweight women. So 12 weeks, they did aerobic and resistance, so like strength training, maybe some free weights, some bands, body weight. The aerobic activity was walking, jumping jacks, hiking, swimming, and then the resistance band was low intensity dance classes, as well as the bands and light weight training. It was 3 days a week, 30 minutes a day, 20 overweight women, LDL was reduced. I mean, that's not, that's 30 minutes, that's great, that's fantastic. So we don't need to be in the gym for an hour and a half. We don't need to be in the gym, period. We can be at home. We can take a low intensity dance class. We can walk around our block a few times. We can go for a walk in the park or a short hike. 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 days a week. Super simple. All right, even that low intensity exercise can increase your HDL. All right, making your exercise longer and increasing the intensity is of course going to increase the benefit, but it doesn't mean that you can't start somewhere and increase and improve as you go. Okay. Number six, this one kind of goes hand in hand. If you are overweight, you have to drop some weight in order to balance out your LDL and HDL. All right, losing weight is going to influence the way your body absorbs and produces cholesterol. Okay. Number seven, don't smoke. Honestly, I don't know many people that smoke, but don't smoke. We all know the health risks and the dangers of smoking. And how it affects not only you, but sometimes the people around you. It can get kind of gross. Sorry if you smoke, I'm not sorry. Smoking increases the risk of heart disease in several ways. And one of these ways is by changing how the body handles cholesterol. And this is how, all right? Immune cells in smokers are unable to return cholesterol from blood vessel walls to the blood for transport to the liver. So basically, what's happening is smoking is not allowing your body to clean the blood of bad cholesterol. And that's because of the damage that's related to tobacco tar, right? That gets built up in our blood vessels as well. That gets built up in our cells, and that disrupts the process of cleaning our blood. All right. And what happens on top of that is that these dysfunctional cells contribute to the faster development of clogged arteries. So we hear about that plaque buildup because of smoking. That's what it is. And it doesn't allow for the cleaning of the bad cholesterol. Okay? It hinders the body's ability to send back to the liver to be stored or broken down. And quitting smoking can reverse these effects. That's the coolest thing about this. If you smoke and you say, well, I don't want this to happen anymore, stop smoking and you will reverse the effects. It's not just going to stay that way. Your body will restore itself to proper condition. Right? Your body knows what to do with itself as long as you give it the time and the ability to do so. All right, number eight, guys. Again, this one kind of goes hand in hand with the one just before. Quit smoking. Number eight, use alcohol in moderation or quit altogether. All right, when used in moderation, the ethanol in alcoholic drinks increases HDL and reduces the risk of heart disease. I know we've all heard studies, a glass of wine or one beer a night or something like that is okay and actually can be healthy and beneficial for you. There's so many studies ranging from negative to positive effects of alcohol, so everything has to be taken with a grain of salt, but as I said at the very beginning, when used in moderation. All right, there was a study in adult women that found that drinking 24 grams of alcohol from white wine daily improved their HDL by 5% compared to drinking equal amounts of white grape juice. Interesting. So, if you like white wine, there you go. Once a day is okay. Didn't hear from me. Moderation. But it also improves the reverse cholesterol transport, meaning it's actually helping remove some of that bad cholesterol from your blood, reducing your clogged artery risk, reducing your heart disease risk. All right, so while moderate alcohol intake does reduce your heart disease risk, too much can also harm the liver and then increase your risk of dependence. Okay, so if drinking alcohol in moderation is difficult because if you have one, you're gonna have two. If you have two, you're gonna have three, and so on, then maybe just stop it altogether and see how your body reacts, see how your body changes. All right, but if you are gonna do it in moderation, the recommended limit for men is two drinks a day. The recommended limit for women is one drink a day. All right. Number nine, consider plant supplements. So basically, like your greens mix, anything like that that you can mix in water and just consume is really going to help decrease your LDL and increase your HDL. All right. They're basically called sterols and stanols. They're plant versions of cholesterol. So we have HDL and LDL. Plants have sterols and stanols. So if we consider consuming those, they actually resemble cholesterol and they're absorbed like it in our body. All right, but it doesn't contribute to clogged arteries. It just helps clear our bad cholesterol levels. So it seems simple. It's not, you don't have to consume anything crazy. You can probably find that at a health food store. I believe it comes in droplets or even like a powder mix that you can just mix in your water or a smoothie. Some of it is flavorless, some of it has flavor, but another consideration to help you reduce your cholesterol. And last, but certainly not least, try any sort of supplements that you see out there that are going to help improve your cholesterol. All right, there's definitely strong evidence that fish oil and that soluble fiber are going to improve cholesterol and promote your heart health. So as I mentioned before, fish oil supplements, fiber supplements, those are going to be a great addition. Your fish oil, it's rich in omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA. 4 grams of fish oil daily reduce total amount of fat being carried in the blood. It's going to reduce your risk of heart disease and prolong your life expectancy. There's another supplement called psyllium, Psyllium. That is a form of soluble fiber available as a supplement. So super simple. It's a little pill. pop it in. There's your fiber for the day. All right, and then the last one, I think maybe some of you have heard of this, coenzyme Q10. It's usually referred to as CoQ10. It's a food chemical. It helps produce energy. The body can produce its own, but an extra boost may have increased benefits on reducing your LDL and improving your HDL. Well, there it is, you guys. Cholesterol. Long one, I know, I'm sorry. But I hope you took something out of it today. Cholesterol, as we can see, has many important functions in the body, but it can also cause clogged arteries and heart disease if we don't keep it in check. So as long as we're aware of its functions, as long as we're aware of where to get the good cholesterol, how to avoid the bad cholesterol, we can manage it, we can do a better job of maintaining it. All right, so just remember your LDL, low density, that's your bad cholesterol, that's prone to free radical damage and contributes most to heart disease. So that free radical damage is basically the oxidation of cells. It breaks them down and makes them weak so that they're more prone to disease and viruses. Your HDL, high density, your good lipoproteins, they protect against heart disease by carrying that cholesterol away from the blood vessel walls and back to the liver to be broken down as waste. And then just to recap, unsaturated fats, soluble fiber, soluble fiber, and plant supplements can increase your HDL along with decreasing LDL. And then if you add exercise, you shed a few pounds, you stop smoking, stop eating fast food, all that stuff is going to balance out. And if you don't know what your cholesterol levels are, go see your doctor. Simple blood test, blood draw can determine your levels, and then you can go from there. All right? Thank you, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it very, very much. If you haven't done so already, like I said at the beginning, please like and follow on my Instagram. Please share this podcast with anyone who you think can benefit from it, maybe learn something from it. I would really appreciate it. So let me know if you guys ever have any questions. I'll answer to the best of my ability. Next week's our fitness week, so we'll get back into a fitness subject, and we'll go from there, all right? So remember, you guys, love yourself, have a good week, and go be the best version of yourself. Peace.